Friends, grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our healer. Amen. In the 13th century, long time ago, the Holy Roman Emperor Frederick II carried out an experiment in an attempt to discover if there was a natural language, a language that was given by God, presumably the language that was even spoken by Adam and Eve. Frederick II assumed that if babies never heard a spoken word, that they would not be tainted by the local and cultural language, and so they would speak that first given language. So Frederick had a number of babies kept and locked in a nursery where nurses were only allowed to go in to feed them and bathe them, but they were not allowed to speak to them or play with them or cuddle them. Well, the legend has it that this experiment failed because the babies died. It's a terrible story, right? And if you think that this is a terrible story and that I maybe shouldn't even be telling this, you're not alone. This experiment has been attempted several times in history, fortunately not in modern history that I'm aware of. And it's been called the forbidden experiment because of just how terrible it is. But the point is, and what Frederick did learn, he didn't discover the original language given by God, but what he did discover was how important touch is for humans to thrive. And in today's gospel, that discovery is confirmed. Touch is extremely important, and especially Jesus' healing touch. His touch brings us life and even salvation. Think about all the touching going on in the reading that we just heard from Mark's gospel account. A leader of the local synagogue named Jairus falls at Jesus' feet and begs him repeatedly, "Come and lay your hands on my daughter so that she may be made well and live. Come, lay your hands on her." And then there's the kind of touch that I absolutely despise, the crowds of people. It says the crowds are swarming around Jesus, and with those kind of crowds, you know, you can't help but rub elbows with people and bump into people. It says they were pressing in on him, touching him. And in the midst of all those crowds then, there is this specific mention of a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhage for 12 years, and she touched Jesus' clothing. How could he know in those crowds? And then when finally Jesus makes it to Jairus' house and went in where the child was, it says he took her by the hand. He touched her, and he said, "Little girl, get up." And immediately she did, and she began to walk about and eat. Now there is a lot of touching going on here, and I think that Mark puts these stories together, this story of Jairus and Jairus' daughter and the woman with the hemorrhage, he puts them together in a way to reveal to us that Jesus is the healer, and that he brings healing through touch. But I know that this important revelation, as Jesus as a healer and Jesus touching us through healing us through touch, leads to a whole bunch of questions, I think, for some of us. Questions like, are we actually able to receive Jesus' healing touch today? Or if we pray and pray and pray for healing and it doesn't come, are we lacking faith? Or does Jesus not care? Healing stories in the Bible are great until you're desperate. Desperate like Jairus, whose daughter was sick to the point of death, or desperate like the woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. Great for Jairus and for this woman. But surely there were plenty of other people surrounding them who were desperate for healing too. What about them? Are they without faith? Does Jesus not care about them? Even today, for many of us today, when you're desperate for healing and you hear these stories about Jesus, I've heard the questions. Maybe you hear someone else's story about a miraculous healing where they're giving credit to God. It leaves you wondering, why not me? Why not my loved one? Well, today's scripture has all kinds of humorous little bits and pieces to it, but I love especially the way it ends. Humorous, confusing. Jesus brings Jairus' daughter back to life from the dead, and then the scripture says that they were overcome by amazement. And immediately, Jesus strictly ordered them that no one should know this. Now, granted, he had forced everybody else outside of the room except the mother and the father and his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. But do you really think that no one is going to know about this miracle? I mean, first of all, how could anyone keep such a thing quiet? And even if they could keep the secret, there are crowds just outside the door that Jesus had just forced out, mourning this girl's death. Aren't they going to eventually see her? Well, this is one feature that is specific to Mark. Mark uses this throughout his gospel account in what theologians who have spent much of their life and their career studying the gospel call the messianic secret. All throughout the gospel, according to Mark, Jesus is telling people not to tell others about the miracles that he did. Or when people identify him as the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, he tells them to keep it quiet. Now, most theologians think that the reason Jesus wants to keep it secret is that he says often his hour has not yet come. It's not yet time for his identity, his full identity, to be revealed. That is, until his suffering and death and resurrection. Because it's through that we finally grasp who this Jesus is. Even as healer, we finally understand what it means that he is a healer. See, otherwise, Jesus goes on throughout the whole story, and people see him as sort of a dispensary of first aid, or a free bread line, feeding people, keeping people physically well, sure. In John's gospel, he even says, you know, do you come to me just because I feed you? But I tell you that you will know me even greater. Jesus' healing is much more than about keeping a person physically well, though that is surely what we all want. But otherwise, if Jesus were only about keeping everyone physically well, we still would not have to deal with this great enemy on this side of life, the enemy of death. Even today, knowing the full story of Jesus and who he is, we still don't always and fully understand who Jesus is as healer and what that means. When we're faced with the realities of human suffering and sickness, our emotions cloud our vision of the whole picture that God gives us in Jesus Christ. Yes, we want healing and wholeness. And it may indeed come. I have seen what I think and what others think of as miraculous healing. And some of you have too. I think you have stories to tell of that. But if miraculous physical healing does not come, it doesn't mean that our faith is lacking. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care. It doesn't mean that Jesus' healing touch is not present. But the good news in the gospel is so much more than a momentary healing. The good news cannot be fully understood. Jesus' healing touch cannot be fully understood without the cross, which promises that in our darkest, deepest, most desperate moments in life, Jesus meets us there. The cross reminds us that he's been there. And he promises to continue to be with us. And then his resurrection reminds us, promises us, brings us through those dark moments to life as God intends. Not always as we want, not always on our timing. And when we have faith to see that and believe, that is healing. When the woman who touched Jesus' clothes was healed, Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Now, in the original Greek that this was written in, the word that we have translated for "has made you well" literally means "has saved you." Your faith has brought you salvation. Jesus is saying, your faith has saved you. Your faith has shown you, brought you salvation. And then only after expressing this salvation does he tell her then to go and be healed. Jesus is not necessarily the healer at first that she wants or like we may want, but he is more. He is more. He is a Savior, saving us from the fear of death, from feeling like life is pointless, from feeling like we have to have our lives all together, that we have to have perfect faith. I want to share with you this morning one place where I have often seen healing and salvation happen, even when physical healing didn't. When a person is near death, we often gather around them with family and close friends for a little bit of a prayer service that we call the commendation of the dying. We are literally commending this person to God's care, just as we do so on a daily basis for each other. Its roots are in what Catholics call last rites or extreme unction, except that where Catholics understand this to be a sacrament for the dying person, we understand the commendation of the dying to be for the loved ones who are surrounding that dying person. The whole of this short little service is to hear scriptures, to hear prayers, and to say prayers that remind us of God's salvation in Jesus Christ, that in Jesus, God promises to be with us. And even and especially in our most difficult moments. And finally, that God will draw us together in God's kingdom. And because of that promise, I have seen the healing touch of Jesus. Though sometimes I have seen this, rarely have I seen a physical healing of a person who is on their deathbed. But I have seen a healing for all of those who are surrounding them. A healing, a salvation that has come to them, that has filled them with faith and even joy in a most sad and desperate time. And that, my friends, is Jesus' healing touch. And it still comes to all. Those who are just trying to sneak a little touch of his garment, and those who are completely unsure, who lack confidence or awareness or even faith, as we might call it. It comes to all, sometimes through you and through me. We have been touched by Christ. We have been healed by Christ so that we can be the hands and feet of Christ, reaching out to others, taking their hands, praying with them, providing them comfort and healing, touching them deeply with Christ's healing love in so many miraculous ways. When we encounter a person who is suffering or diseased or in any kind of desperate situation, we have no idea sometimes what to say or do. there may be no words to explain their suffering or to explain why God might let something like this happen. But the best kind of response, I think, in faith is to encounter them in their suffering, to be with them right where they are and remain there, doing our inadequate best to be present, just as Christ is present to us, touching their hearts as Christ has touched ours. You may not be able to bring healing as you want. Jesus may not bring healing as you want or as they want. But you will bring Christ's healing touch, God's salvation and light. And in that encounter, Christ will do whatever work is necessary, as much to you as to the one suffering. And what Christ does there, like so much in life, is blessedly, thankfully, beyond our control. So remember that woman who just wanted to touch the hem of Christ's garment. We are the clothing of Christ, called to live in the promise of Christ with the power of Christ flowing out from us, so that others might see the joy and the confidence with which we live, hoping that even if they touch Christ's clothing, they might be made well. We are the body of Christ, who is our healer and our salvation. Do not fear, only believe, for your faith has made you well. Thanks be to God. Amen.